WU248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of Americans are stranded at airports as airlines scrap another 3,000 flights today nationwide. And it looks like many could be stuck for a while. WBBM's Bernie Tafoya is at Midway in Chicago.
Some travelers whose flights were canceled yesterday say that Southwest Airlines has told them that the earliest they'll be able to reach their destinations via Southwest is Saturday. Mandy Angela was trying to fly yesterday to Miami for her brother's wedding today. She'll be missing it and was sitting in the airport early this morning.
The wedding is at 4 o'clock today. It is incredibly frustrating.
Flight cancellations are not the only problem facing travelers. So is getting their luggage. Traveler Chris Ander calls the whole situation absurd. Bernie Tafoya for CBS News, Midway Airport, Chicago.
Southwest says those problems could continue through the rest of the week. An emergency declaration's in place now for Buffalo, New York, which got hit with more snow overnight. Mayor Byron Brown.
This was a very deadly storm. We are making a lot of progress with our plowing, making a lot of progress working with National Grid on power restoration in the city of Buffalo.
He says crews are also checking homes for anyone who may be stranded. The man considered the mastermind in a plot to kidnap Michigan's governor has been sentenced to 16 years in prison. WWMT's Maria Serrano was in court in Grand Rapids.
In court, you could see the defendant smirking at the judge and the prosecutor while they spoke. At times, the defendant also shaking his head in disbelief. During the sentencing, the prosecutor said Fox did a lot of the recruiting through social media and was, quote, an instrumental guide behind the training. Later on, that judge standing behind his statement that he's convicting Fox on, quote, what's sufficient but not greater than necessary.
Doctors are warning all those holiday celebrations and travel could make you sick. Dr. William Schaffner's with Vanderbilt University.
The week after and 2 weeks after New Year's, we anticipate that we'll see an increase again in many of these respiratory infections, including the common cold, COVID, perhaps RSV kicking back up again, and for sure, influenza.
But he says vaccines and wearing a mask could help keep you healthy. St. Louis Cardinals defensive end J.J. Watt announced he's retiring at the end of the 2022 season. He posted a picture of his family on Instagram after Sunday's loss to the Bucks, with a caption that says it would be his last ever NFL home game. Watt says it's been an absolute honor and a pleasure. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 124 points. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Hi, I'm Anthony Imperato, president of Henry Repeating Arms. Patriotic Americans are looking to protect and provide for their families, now more than ever. For your home and in the field, there is a Henry that is right for you. We have over 200 Henry rifles and shotguns to choose from, in a variety of calibers and finishes, all backed by our lifetime guarantee and my personal guarantee for your 100% satisfaction. You have my word that Henry Repeating Arms are made in America, always will be, or they won't be made at all. I invite you to visit henryusa.com to order a free catalog, decals, and a list of Henry dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com or call 1-800-958-4993. Thank you and God bless America.
Is the cost of college weighing you down? Don't worry. There is a ton of untapped federal financial aid available right now. The University of Wisconsin system has financial aid experts across the state, waiting to help you finish the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. Go to wisconsin.edu for more information, and FAFSA will show you the money, but only if you fill it out. Sponsored by the University of Wisconsin System.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will hold their regular monthly meeting at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday, December 28th, in the community room of the Huntington House Apartments in Wisconsin Rapids. In Portage County, the following meetings have been canceled for Wednesday. The Solid Waste Management Board will not be meeting at 4 p.m., and the Land and Water Conservations Committee will not have their 7 p.m. meeting. Wisconsin wildlife officials say it's still too early for ice fishing. Madison's Lake Mendota is frozen over, but the Department of Natural Resources is urging ice fishers to be patient. The DNR says you should wait till there's about 4 inches of ice. Temperatures are forecast to get warmer throughout the week. In sports, the Luke Fickell era begins as the Badgers take on Oklahoma State in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl tonight. Also tonight, Marquette hosts Seton Hall. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with highs around 22. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, lows level off around 19. Overcast tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. Highs level off around 41 Thursday with a chance for scattered showers. 34, cloudy Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 15.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today for the 1 p.m. fun hour. As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And we are still in it, baby. We thought we were out, had no chance, and then magically, call it a Christmas miracle, call it whatever you want, everything that needed to happen happened this weekend, including the Packers coming back for a kind of an ugly win, but a win regardless, against the Dolphins, and it was a pretty fun game. So here to talk about his takes on the game itself, and also what still needs to happen for us to somehow pull off a playoff run is J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he is a trending sports reporter. Welcome back, J.R.
Hey, I'm happy to be back. When you said we're still in it, I thought you were talking about the Christmas season. You know, it's not over.
That's true.
We're still playing the music. Family members are still coming for the second wave of Christmas. It's not over yet. We cannot yet say goodbye to the Christmas season or the Packers playoff chances.
Exactly. Also, I feel like anyone who was sick over Christmas, they now are doing Christmas this week. Maybe there was a delayed Christmas for some people, but yeah, I think this whole week is still, you can still say Merry Christmas this week. Just like you can say Happy New Year all of January.
That's true. And you'll be writing, people still do checks. They'll be writing checks for 2022 until like April. So,
yes.
These things take a while.
All right. Well, let's just start with kind of your big takeaways from yesterday's game. I felt like there was certainly some, I was not confident in the first half. I will be totally honest. And then did we win this game or did the Dolphins lose this game?
the way the defense played in the first half, I was with you right there. And the fact that they don't give up any points in the second half, I guess you say that, that takes something, no matter how bad Tua was or how bad the Dolphins are, you know, that's a performance you can hang your hat on. They're in Miami and they didn't allow any points in the second half and their offense came back to win. Tua throwing three interceptions just right to guys is just not something that's going to happen very often. It's certainly not going to happen against a top shelf quarterback. I don't really know what was going on there. You know, you got the concussion talk now. Like maybe that somehow played a role. I really don't know, but they were given, they were certainly given opportunities and they didn't take advantage of all of them. There were definitely still some, like you said, it was not a crisp performance, but you don't have to be crisp when you're winning on the road in the NFL, and certainly not against teams that have winning records, or at least, you know, 500 records like Miami did coming into the game. That's a tall order, and they pulled it off. So a little bit of yes to both. Was it given to them? It was, but they also had to take it. They have not always taken it this year. So that was a very important victory for them.
So what do you think? Do you really give this to the defense as far as what won the game?
A little bit. Yeah. I'm not a fan of how the defense has played. I don't think they've been good.
I mean, that was kind of what's been surprising, right?
So I give it to them for showing up. You got some pretty good performances. Jaron Reed made a really good play. there were guys who definitely stood up when they absolutely had to. The pass rush was finally pretty good. You know, without Rashawn Gary, they've had a really hard time getting to the quarterback and creating havoc. So it's nice that changed a little bit. I think it was just a survive and advance sort of game. Like, I don't know if I give a game ball out to anybody. I mean, Aaron Rodgers made some terrible throws. He also had an incredible one to Mercedes Lewis that was pretty eye popping and sets up a touchdown. So like there everybody had their moments in this game, which is kind of what you need when you're just scratching and clawing to stay alive in the playoff race.
He is tall, Mercedes Lewis. I feel like
he's tall, right?
It was like, who just caught that ball? And you're like, oh, Mercedes Lewis. It's like, God, he's like a foot taller than everyone out there.
He's a large man. I love him because he's super old and he's super slow, which I have a huge affinity for old, slow people because I am of them. And he's of course still 2 years younger than I am. But yes, the seasoned veteran. You see him usually like just catching a touchdown when it's like on the two and somebody screws up something and he gets wide open in the end zone. But that was a great play. That was a really important catch. So Big Dog makes the play that one of the biggest plays of the game.
Totally.
Define old for me, JR. How old is he?
You know, Jane, it's a spiritual thing for me. I realize what my birth certificate says, but spiritually, having two children, ages 10 and 8, I am quite a bit older than what the government recognizes. So you could be spiritually, you know, 35, 40 years old. No judgment, no matter where you fall. But I'd like to think of myself as a spiritual 55-year-old man.
Fair. Do you have thoughts on the fake punt?
I liked it at the time. Well, sort of. I liked it at the time. Like everybody else, I think it was an interesting choice because they saw, you know, Miami was in position to stop that thing from happening. They did not audible out of it. They did not call a timeout. They did not choose to try something else. What they saw from the line of scrimmage should have told them absolutely not. I didn't think they could get in a shootout with any team with the Miami Dolphins at the time. I think they were down 10. It did not look promising and they weren't going to be able to keep up. Their offense just hasn't been that good. So I respected the fact that they were trying to sort of keep a possession, steal a possession away and keep the ball moving as long as they could. So I like the idea of it, the ingenuity, you know, not recognizing that the play call just shouldn't have been executed was, you know, that was a mistake. And I think Matt LaFleur even said as much the day after that. Yeah, that was just a total whiff. But at the time, it was like, yeah, I respect them trying to do something different. They're not supposed to win this game, so they got to pull out some stops.
They have to play to win. Any update? Because I feel like the two players that have been very fun to watch is Christian Watson, who went out with a hip injury, and then Nixon, who had that incredible 94-yard punt return, only to get a field goal.
Field goal.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But he was.
I said it the second he went down
on the sideline too. Is when he was benched, and so I didn't even know what did they say that he was hurt with.
Oh, I don't. I'm trying to remember now which one was which because Christian Watson definitely had a hip injury. I think it was a groin injury for Keyshawn Nixon.
Okay.
And so the updates. You're not gonna get good ones until Wednesday when they return to the practice field and you really get a sense of whether they're gonna practice in full or limited or not at all. It didn't seem like anybody was too worried, although I guess I'd be somewhat concerned about Nixon in particular that, you know, those things can be tricky and they don't just heal. So I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna see with him, but that'd be such a huge loss. He's been such a revelation for them. Not have him.
I feel like this falls in
Snoop
your
Dogg?
Yes. I feel like this falls into your category of fun sports stories to write about, but I only learned this weekend over Christmas that he's Snoop Dogg's nephew.
So difficult to verify, which I have tried to do.
Okay.
I don't know 100% that that's like legitimately like Snoop Dogg's brother or sister, that Keyshawn Nixon is the son. I'm still working through some of that. But they have a close relationship, and he's played football for one of, I think, Snoop Dogg's academy teams. So he's definitely, they definitely know each other. They definitely have a relationship. I don't know exactly what the level is there, but
there may not be a bloodline.
There may not be a bloodline, but you know what? It's okay. If you know Snoop Dogg, that's awesome.
And I also feel like, in the Black community, there is often a lot of people who are your cousin, even if they're not your cousin. And so there could be like familial, like we are like family, even if there's no bloodline. And so, all right, so that fact is murky, but otherwise he was great, fun to watch. And so is, I mean, Watson's been so much fun to watch too over this season. And so do you think there's any chance that we see Bakhtiari next weekend?
There's a chance. Yeah. I mean, he was, I think, doing some drill work last week. There was some thought he could get back for this game against the Dolphins that he ended up being doubtful, which is better than he'd been. He'd been listed as out for the previous couple games. So yes, there's a chance. Obviously, with an appendectomy, it's a little bit of a wild card. There's no like clear cut trainer's timetable for that sort of thing. But they would really need him. You know, I don't know what Yash Nyman's situation is, but he went out. Royce Newman has really struggled this year when he's been brought in as a replacement. And I mean, honestly, this wasn't his worst game or anything. He's been kind of on the sidelines for a while now as they found some better options. But they really, really need solid tackles here. So it would be nice. Yash Nyman has been so quietly valuable to this team as a starting tackle. And Zach Tom has held up in David Bakhtiari's stead. So like that's not the problem per se. It's just about having the five best offensive linemen out there. Mm-hmm. And they would getting him back is just so essential. I mean, the Vikings are frauds. They have a great record. All of their wins have been by one score pretty much. No one should realistically be afraid of the Minnesota Vikings, but they are a better team than the Packers. Like, okay, you have to say at least that much. They're going to need all, you know, everything they can get to beat Minnesota.
All right. Well, then I do want to get to what has to happen for our playoff mm-hmm. dreams to stay alive. But I can't not play this clip of Jair Alexander, because I love a person who's not camera shy. And so if you have not seen this yet of the post game interview on the field, let's play it.
That play, what happened, and how'd you grab it?
Oh man, that's easy. So I'm just lining up. I see number 10 motion over. Eddie Jones. I seen number 10 coming across the field. I said, oh snap, he fast. So I bagged off. When I bagged off, I seen him coming. He ran right in front of me. I'm like, wow, is he really overthrowing it? Huh? Took it down the sideline, turned up with my guys, gave the football to a little kid wearing 23.
I love it. Merry Christmas to you. I already have more to say. That was fantastic.
If you celebrate it, Merry Christmas, go to a time with your family. We got a dub, baby. Pack is back.
Just the most, so no one was more excited than him. And then did you see that he waddled off?
Yes, like Jalen Waddle, the you know, one of Miami's better players. Jalen Waddle, by the way, had a very good game, some of which coming against Jair Alexander. So be a little careful about who you're trolling there. But what a great personality. Very difficult. Journalism can be challenging when the quotes are usually involving various noises like that. Very difficult to try to spell those words. We got a herm and a hi. I'm not sure how we would spell that exactly, but you just got to watch the clip. You just got to watch Jair and his facial expressions and his enthusiasm. He is one of a kind.
I feel like this is being a TikTok person. I feel like this is one of those ones that people who are really good at lip syncing, trying to lip sync along with this video would be, I don't have the time to try to practice and do it, but throwing it out there for someone else to, maybe this is a good project for you this week, JR. Maybe you can do that for the Journal Sentinel TikTok.
I just don't know if people want to see this bald white man doing a Jair Alexander impersonation, but I could maybe outsource. Well, I'll find somebody who might be up for something like that.
We could find someone in the office who'd be up for the challenge. And so, all right, well, go ahead. We got 1 minute.
That's good. That's great. Yeah, he's definitely one of a kind. He's a one of a kind personality.
Yeah, that was a great clip. All right, well, when we come back, there's two things that I want to touch still on this game as far as Mason Crosby and the big record he broke, and then also talk about where we go from here, what needs to happen, what are our chances. So you're saying there's a chance?
There is a chance.
All right, J.R. Radcliffe will still be here when we come back to talk about the Packers. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
He rides on the sleigh, shouting, go back, go, call Santa Claus, the guy that takes of Lambeau. One more time now, Santa Claus done got a taste of Lambeau. He done backed up and moved away from the North Pole. North Pole. If you're looking for a present on Christmas Day, you better.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Your sports team is vastly inferior. That simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is J.R. Radcliffe from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about all things Packers game, both what the game was on Christmas and where we need to go from here. But before we move on to the things that are in our control and not in our control to still make it to the playoffs, I just wanted to quickly play a clip from a record that I think would have been, most people would say was hard to break, but 256, is it consecutive games or games?
Yes, consecutive games.
256 consecutive games played by Mason Crosby. That is a feat. So here's a video that the Packers made for him.
A player like Mason Crosby isn't always easy. But for years, we've done our best to do it anyway. To the fans, he's a staple, a Packer, and often a hero. To the locker room, he's a calm, cool, collected leader, Mr. Clutch.
To the upright, and it is right down this! It is good!
To others, he's a loving husband, a father of five, and a loyal friend. 15 years ago, this All-American kicker out of Colorado was drafted to Green Bay and immediately placed in a training camp battle for a roster spot. Well, he won that spot and never gave it up. And here we are, 256 consecutive regular season games later. A record many thought may never get broken. Now belongs to number two.
Little tingly.
The feels.
Little goosebumpy. Where does he rank, do you think, as far as active kickers in the NFL?
So kickers are so unusual. They're just so difficult to evaluate.
Yeah.
You know, he's not an all-pro kicker. He's not a regular Pro Bowl kicker. But the longevity is pretty rare. I wouldn't say it's completely uncommon. I mean, you do have kickers who are kicking in the NFL deep into their 40s. There are guys like that, but the leg strength eventually, obviously, it goes away and they become less useful. And that's included on kickoffs, you know, where you can't boot the ball just into the end zone whenever you want. That's a problem for teams always battling for field position. And I mean, certainly there's been probably a little bit of depreciation, but Kickers also are just really hard to, it's so hard to find a good one. There are so many franchises, Minnesota included, that have gone through just a rotating wheel of kickers, even though all the, I mean, guys that they've drafted, guys that they've signed who've had, you know, great success elsewhere, like for whatever reason, it just didn't click there. And what makes Mason Crosby special is the ability to kick in a place like Green Bay, where mm-hmm. the weather is just never guaranteed. You know, obviously there are, every kicker is going to see adverse weather conditions at some point, but his ability to do what he does and to have had a lot of big moments in Decembers and, you know, times of the year where things are pretty adverse, that's pretty special. I mean, he's from the University of Colorado. Like, I'm sure he saw his share of crazy weather there as well, but he's a little difficult to evaluate. Like, would I say, is he a Hall of Famer? No, of course not. Is he a Packer Hall of Famer? 100%. You know, yeah. Like you can't be there 15 years as reliable as he has been with really very few hiccups. You know, this is a position where if you have a bad year, there's a good chance you're gone no matter how successful you've been. And he had a bad year. In 2018, he had that unforgettable game in Detroit where he missed 4 field goals and an extra point. It was not a good season. I think a lot of people thought that was it. You know, Mason Crosby was done and they decided, nope, we're going to go with the, you know, we're going to dance with the guy who brought us and we're going to stay the course. And he's been pretty steady ever since. So, you know, smart on them to not cut the cord at any point. And he's obviously got a pretty big place in Packers history at this point.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you published an article yesterday outlining everything that has to happen for us to stay alive. But in the last couple minutes we have, how do you summarize what needs to happen?
Well, unfortunately, it's pretty easy, which is not as great for the content. But, you know, the Packers, they win their last two games. All it takes at that point is a Washington loss. And boom, okay. They're in the playoffs. Now, it could be a Washington loss or New York losing both of their final games. One or the other has to happen. And if the Packers win their final two games, they're in the playoffs. Now, there is a scenario where the Packers lose in Minnesota and still make the playoffs. It requires like 7 other things to go right. I certainly wouldn't plan on it. That includes Detroit losing to the Bears next week. In fact, by kickoff of next week, Packers have a 3:25 kickoff against Minnesota. By then, they may know whether or not they must win in Minnesota. All it's going to take is Washington or Detroit winning their game, and that Minnesota game will instantly become a must win. Everyone's going to tell you it's a must win anyway. The 8-9 scenario is pretty light, but there is no scenario where they lose to the Lions and make the playoffs. So that is already a must win that last game of the season. Minnesota pretty much is as well. But if they win those games, all it takes is Washington losing. And heck, let's say the Giants lose both their games and Washington loses once more. Packers could be the 6th seed. There could be yet one more team behind them getting into the playoffs. So they're very fortunate to be here. I would not call it a better than 50% chance yet. Probably more like the 30 to 40% chance at this point, but it is a lot better situation than it was a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, statistically, I think I read, maybe it was in your article, that's like up to 36%, but each game that we've won, because I think my husband, right before the Rams game, made a bet that, so if the Packers win the Super Bowl, he wins $15,000.
Oh my goodness.
But then the odds,
this has been a very good couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly. But then the odds went further down once we won that game. So I don't know how much you can win right now. But there's a chance. Have weirder things happened as far as having this kind of record, making it into the playoffs and potentially even winning some games, maybe a Super Bowl?
In 2013, I come back to the 2013 season, which I know people probably don't remember it off the top of their heads, but that is the season that ends with the Bears game where Rodgers comes back from his injury and they hits Randall Cobb, last play of the game, like 13 seconds left at Soldier Field to beat the Bears, win the division. The games leading up to that game, there is almost, I can't even imagine in real life, it was 1% chance that Matt Flynn would lead them to the wins they needed and the comebacks that they needed to get into that position in the first place, let alone then beat the Bears. They didn't win their playoff game, but it was still just a wild situation for them to even get to the playoffs. That's where we're at right now. They need kind of some magic, and they've got, like, you know, they're 3/5 of the way there to winning their last 5 games. So, like, Aaron Rodgers is not, you know, he's had a rough year, but, like, he's still a dude, you know, as complicated and as crazy and as weird as he is and the season has been, he is still a dude. And when the chips are down, I feel like there's a little bit of magic there still.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed. All right, J.R. Radcliffe is the trending sports reporter for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can find him on Twitter at J.R. Radcliffe. Thank you for joining us today. Very fun, as always. Go Pack, go.
We'll be right back.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends, whatever makes their holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit countryhearthbreads.com/sweeps.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Police have arrested a suspect they believe robbed a Senex gas station in Taylor County at gunpoint. 36-year-old Tommy Lee Wilkes is in custody after he pulled out a gun at a Senex station in Gilman, Wisconsin, and demanded the clerk give him money. Wilkes was not at the gas station when police arrived, but they were able to follow his footsteps to where it looked like he got into a car and drove off. Police don't know yet how much money was taken. One person and a dog died in a car crash in Lincoln County this morning. Just before 8 a.m., a car failed to stop at a stop sign in the town of Bradley at the intersections of County Road U and County Road A. The car crossed the road and went through a ditch before hitting a group of trees. Authorities say that speed is a factor in the crash. In sports, the Luke Fickle era begins as the Badgers take on Oklahoma State in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl tonight. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with highs around 22. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, lows level off around 19. Overcast tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. Highs level off around 41 Thursday with a chance for scattered showers. 34, cloudy Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15.
I know, matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in on this brain fog of a week.
The lost week.
The lost week. The relaxing week. The reset week. The week where we review the year we just had. We start thinking about what resolutions we can make for the next year and how long we'll actually be able to hold those resolutions or intentions or whatever you call your reset button and what you hope the next will bring for the next year. But thank you for joining us. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to it as a podcast. You can either find it on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, where you can find the episode and also find kind of a summary and links to all the different resources and articles we talked about today.
There's tons of information on there.
Tons of information. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You just have to search As Goes Wisconsin. So you've heard of this tradition before, Jane.
I have.
This is my first time coming across it. And I don't, I think it might be genius. I think. So I feel like, I'm going to back up for a second. Let's build the suspense of this. So have you seen, you've seen the movie Mean Girls?
Yes.
Have you seen the play, the musical play, Mean Girls?
I did not.
Which they're now making the musical Mean Girls into a movie.
Good for Tina Fey.
Great for Tina Fey. So there's a concept in that movie of, obviously, mean girls, but in reality, the difference between girls and boys, especially when they're going through puberty, but this kind of sometimes lasts into adulthood, but that boys, when they fight, when they're mad at each other, they can just fight and they get it out of their system. And girls don't necessarily, some, not all, but most, you know, we're supposed to be good, nice little girls. And so we don't physically engage with the people that we are, with the other girls that we are fighting with always. And instead, we just do psychological warfare and try to ruin their lives.
Minor difference.
Minor difference. But part of one of the themes is that movie, and there's a song in the musical version of why can't we be like more like boys and fight and get it out versus doing all this backstabbing and gossiping and telling lies and all this stuff. And I, that was where my mind went when I read about what this Peruvian, not the whole country, but the specific part of Peru. I'm not going to be able to pronounce everything. So the tradition is called Takanakuy. T-A-C-A-N-A-K-U-Y. And it's inhabitants of the Chumvikilas province, which is near Cuzco, Peru. And they celebrate this on December 25th. So it's
Christmas Day.
And it's an annual and ancient celebration. And on that day, men, women, children gather together to settle grudges from the past year by calling each other out and having a fist fight.
Okay.
Afterwards, everyone drinks together to help with the pain, and they start the new year with a new slate.
I have many questions.
I don't know if I'll be able to answer them, but let's go for it.
Okay. I mean, are there any parameters? I'm assuming it's fists only. No weapons.
So the types of disputes vary. So the types of disputes that lead to the fisticuffs vary, ranging from personal conflicts over romance or friendship to legal issues such as territorial disputes.
Oh.
And the purpose of the festival is to help locals resolve conflicts and strengthen community bonds. The fight both starts and ends with a hug.
Wow.
Because the whole goal is to bring peace to the community.
Some kind of reconciliation.
Yeah. And so it's like I think it's like it's getting it out of your system. It's getting what? I think it was an episode of Yellowstone. Do you watch Yellowstone?
I don't.
So there was building tension in the little boys' clubhouse of all the ranch hands. And ultimately, the decision was they just needed to beat the crap out of each other. And then they got it out of their system, and then they could finally move forward. And, like, it was a violent fight in how that scene was filmed for the show. But largely, it at least in it's a fictional show, but, like, it worked, right? Like, they really beat each other up, and then they could finally move forward. And so I do think it's more of a masculine, but maybe not. I don't know. I'm trying to think if I would feel better about the things that I get, the people I'm frustrated with, if I could just punch them in the face. It's also like, is it a fair fight? Like, well, I'm trying to think of, like, if I was really mad at you, Jane.
Right. You're going to kill me.
And I'm probably about 8 inches taller than you, a lot younger. I haven't worked out in a while, but I still have that residual strength that I had leading up to the wedding.
About oh, yeah.
I was working out then. But, like, my dispute is with you. But if I punched you in the face, I'm pretty sure you're not getting back up.
I would probably go down and that would be the end of the fight. And that's why I asked about parameters. There have to be, you know, you can't have a 400-pound guy and a 120-pound guy and say that that's going to be a fair fight. Right?
And maybe, I know, I feel like I've opened this and there's so many more questions than we have answers for, but it says here fighters can punch and kick, but are now not allowed to jump on top of their opponents or continue to hit them once they hit the ground.
Oh, okay. So there are some rules.
But the pictures of this, there's tons of people there.
Again,
they wear colorful costumes.
Unless you both end up equally bloodied. I mean, if one person is just the outright winner and so obviously takes down his opponent, you think that the loser is going to walk away and go, that's fair, that was all fair. I'm fine now, we can go on.
I know, do you think you can nominate proxies?
Like, that would add a whole different layer.
Like, because the thing is, even the example of this, is like, I'm mad at Jane, but it's not like I can go to Brooke, because Brooke's even smaller than you are.
And I could probably take Brooke, only because I outweigh her by about 100 pounds.
You just sit on her?
Yeah, that would be it.
But I would love to hear from you. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing for a community? 844-967-2789. As long as there's rules, you can't beat someone to death, like you can't hit someone when they're down, it's moderated to a certain extent, but it is a effort of exertion and adrenaline and to get out your frustration. Do you think this is a good thing? And even bigger, I guess, do you think it's a good thing? Like, what is, if we take it back to our culture and kind of letting boys fight it out versus girls just being awful to each other and bully, like online bullying and all that stuff. Like, is there merit to the idea that sometimes you just need to physically fight? 844-967-2789.
I think that's an idealized idea of what it used to be.
What do you mean?
Of boys get mad at each other and they fight and then they move on and everything's fine. Now boys fight and one goes home and gets a gun. I just don't think you can take something that's Peruvian and move it here to the same effect. And again, are there going to be categories of who you can challenge? Because I got some people in Madison I would love to challenge to a fight.
That maybe work in the Capitol?
They may be Capitol adjacent or have offices there or something.
Something, yeah.
There's people.
I don't think this could work here. And I also am unclear on, for like the legal disputes, does the winner win? Like, is that the court?
Right. Are you done then? The court has decided because I knocked you out.
So yeah, there's a lot of questions here, but I found it. I just thought it was, and to be fair, if it's part of the community and is more of a tight-knit community and it's all people who have to live with each other, it's apples and oranges. I don't necessarily think it could work here.
Right.
But as far as the purity of sometimes you just need to duke it out.
I just want to slap my sister-in-law.
I'm just thinking, I was like, how would this actually, because I don't have a lot of violent instincts to hit or like, I don't have a lot of like underlying rage where I feel
rage
like
issues.
I need to, punch something to feel better.
Let it out or you're going to blow.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like this is, I just thought it was so super interesting. And I think there's probably some people who also find that this would be, we'd all be a lot better instead of, and just be able to move on. Because we'd be like, well, you punched him, he punched you. Do you feel better? Because sometimes I think there's something to be said as far as like physical exertion. You know, they suggest one of the ways to feel better. You know, people sometimes do that, right? They, if they get things off their mind, they have to run. Like you do some kind of exercise to get endorphins, sure, and adrenaline and the feeling. And like a lot of times I think when you're having bad feelings, if you work out or if you sleep, you can usually feel better. I heard that recently as someone gave the advice. It's like how much the cliche of don't go to bed angry in regards to your spouse.
Right.
It's like, absolutely go to bed angry. Most of the time you just need sleep. And if you're still mad about it in the morning, then talk about it. But if you're irritated in this moment, it's 50-50 chance if you're actually upset about the problem or if you're just tired.
That's a good point. And once you start shouting at each other, nothing is going to get accomplished after that anyway.
No.
You both got to calm down.
This is going off the rails, but there's another piece of spousal advice I once heard is if you start to get into a fight, both parties have to go for a 15-minute walk or like go work out for 15 minutes and then come back and talk about it.
That's a good idea.
So for the same, kind of the same endorphin type reason of go get some frustration out. If you're, you know, kickboxing, punch a bag, go for a run, do a hit, so do some burpees, but get it out and then come talk about it versus letting the aggression just mount in the middle of the fight.
You got to channel it somewhere.
Yeah. So
I almost think, wouldn't they be better off having to like build something together? Here's a project. The two of you go do this project, make this bench for the village.
I feel like this is spoken as someone who's clearly never done an escape room with a group.
No, never.
those can be, especially, were you a fan of group projects?
No.
Yeah, for that reason, right? I feel like that leads to more feelings of, I feel like the last time I ever wanted to punch someone, it was someone I was in a group project with, and they were not carrying their weight.
But yet, I also have this vision of you, Kristen, getting into the ring and swinging and connecting and automatically apologizing to the person because I just don't see you. You would just be like, are you okay? Oh my God, are you all right?
Probably depends on who it is. If it's my brother, maybe not. The only person who's in the last 25 years who I've laid hands on is my brother. But that's probably true. I just don't have no interest in actually hurting anybody.
No, I just don't.
Psychologically, maybe.
And I'm right there with you on that. Think of the verbal wounds we can deliver.
Well, let us know. Do you think this would work? Do you think you can see the benefits of it? Because I think even in Peru, they have tried to ban this. They have tried to squash it from happening.
And they won't let it go.
They won't let it go. Some things you just, you know, it's like Fight Club. Number one rule about Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club.
Ever.
But let us know if you think this, if there's merit to this. 844-967-2789. We're going to take one more break, and then we're going to let it go. This show just flew by. This Tuesday, December 27th, brain fog of a show. I think I'm just going to wear pajamas for the rest of the week into the studio. All right, stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Have you ever wondered if a career in healthcare is right for you? Now is the time to start a meaningful career, making a real difference in people's lives. WISC Caregiver Careers is a free employment and training program and is launching 3,000 caring individuals into healthcare careers. Register today at WISCaregiver.com. In minutes, we'll connect you with participating employers within 50 miles of your home. Once hired, you'll start earning while you're learning to become a certified nurse aide. Plus, you'll receive a $500 retention bonus. Take the first step that will change your life. Register today at WISCaregiver.com. All caring individuals of any age can take advantage of this opportunity to get paid while training for Nurse Aid certification. Give back to those who need you the most. Get hired today at WISCCaregiver.com. This message was sponsored by WISC Caregiver Careers, a free employment and training program.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf. Man, I'll call you back.
Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more at getmyflushot.org.
Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. UK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic you think we should cover or an idea for a guest that we should have on or feedback for Jane and I, you can email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. So now that we're at the end of the show, Jane, how was your Christmas?
Christmas was really nice. After we got out of here on Friday, and I zipped home because, again, it was still windy and super cold, and the roads were still kind of twitchy. And so we had a real quiet weekend. Saturday was spent doing prep. I made lasagna for the first time for Christmas Day.
How did it turn out?
It turned out really well.
Good.
I'm feeling very pleased with myself.
So did you, because we always do, we've for years, decades, we've done lasagna on Christmas Eve. But my mom was very excited because she found some kind of new lasagna noodle that you don't have to pre-boil.
Yeah. I did not use those, but I know they exist.
So she used them for the first time, and I think she was very relieved that it tasted exactly the same, and it made the cooking of the lasagna much easier. So you didn't use those, though.
I didn't. It's just a little putsy. Lasagna is just a little putsy to make, but I made the sauce because I wanted homemade sauce, so I made the sauce myself on Saturday, and then you leave it in the fridge, so it gets all those wonderful flavors, and then I did the noodles and the ricotta and all that stuff, and it's really not too bad. The worst part is handling the noodles because they're so hot.
They're so flimsy.
Yeah, and slippery.
Yeah.
They're slippery little fuckers.
Did Paul get you anything?
We did not do gifts this year.
Oh. Our big gifts for each other was I got him tickets to go see Ghostbusters at the Symphony, which we're going to on Friday.
Oh, fun.
And he got me tickets to go see Jolly Holiday, which I already talked about that we saw earlier this month. And then we got little, like, knick-knacky small things.
That's but nice.
I think that's good, right?
Yes.
I kind of joked as we watched our niece, his niece, open her...
She's what, five?
She's five. So I'm being a little harsh. And maybe I won't... Once I have a five-year-old, maybe I won't feel this way. But, you know, she's also an only child. And she got a lot of gifts.
Did she get... I bet she had got, like, 30 presents.
I don't know. I don't know what the final count was, but it was one of those things that I said to Mike. I was like, can we make an agreement now of, you know, the tradition of you have to get as many toys as you get rid of before Christmas is how many new toys you will get. So it's like, it's up to you. How much do you want to hold on to? How much do you want to get? Because the accumulation, because it's also just the fact that as soon as she opens the gift, she plays with it for 2 minutes and then she's wants to open another gift.
On to the next one. Yep.
And so I am leaning towards the less stuff, more experiences mindset. But who knows? I say that now as a childless 30-something.
But don't forget, you will have your brother and Mike's family and your parents and grandparents who will be gift-giving. And I'm sure for some parent, it's just got, please, not so much.
Please don't give them another.
Please don't give them another loud, clangy toy. Yes. But I think the experience, this thing.
Yeah. Is,
even a five-year-old, you know, if you take a little trip, probably isn't going to remember everything, but might remember an impression from that trip.
Totally.
As opposed to another doll, another this, another that.
That's where I fall on this. But one of the stories from our Christmas, my mom's big on themes.
Okay.
So the 23rd, when my grandmother came over, it was a fish fry theme. Although if you are an OG of listening to this show, you might know that my mother's deathly allergic to fish.
Yeah.
So there was no actual fish fry. There was shellfish, and which she's not allergic to, but she had a whole tackle box with like Swedish fish and gummy worms, all the candies I like. And the sugar cookies were in fishing poles and little bobs and stuff like that.
So that's adorable.
And then we had to play some like five-year-old game with like Go Fish, where they go around, like it's just a bunch of fish, little plastic things, and you have to try to catch them with hooks. And my brother just gave up. He was just like, I'm not playing this. I'm bad. And so
I could totally see your brother doing
that. That was one theme. And then the next one was Wordle. So everyone in the family is, as many people from 2022, got very into the game Wordle, which is now owned by the New York Times. I think they bought it for like $10 million when that blew up earlier this year.
Yeah.
And my dad, my mom play every day. And my dad, very competitive person. I mean, our whole family is very competitive. So for a couple of the gifts, you had to answer a Wordle before, and the answer, she came up with it. So the answer had something to do with the gift that you were opening, but she couldn't open your gift until you answered the Wordle right.
Wow.
So my brother got his in like two guesses, I think, on both of his gifts. Mike got his in three. Actually, there was no one he didn't get because my mom misread what the answer was supposed to be. So she kept telling him letters that were actually in it that he's like, no, that's not in it. And so, but for my dad and I in the first one, this is how competitive we are. So we have it. And it's before we've eaten dinner, so maybe we're a little hangry. But we're trying to guess the letters, I think I'm on my fourth or fifth guess at this point. And I think my mom could just tell that my dad and I were getting in really bad moods because we couldn't.
And getting really frustrated.
We're about to ruin Christmas because we can't answer. Like, but we're watching my brother and Mike be able to get theirs right away. And we're just sitting there feeling dumb that we can't answer ours. And it doesn't make any sense. And we're wanting to like blame someone for why we can't guess it.
Merry Christmas.
She was like, well, maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
God, she goes through a lot of work, man.
And this was an off year because she has so many other things that she has to, like health issues, not her health issues, but other family health stuff. And so she kept apologizing that it wasn't as over the top as it usually is. And we're like, this is still a lot. And so that was one of the funnier stories, I think, that came out of Christmas this year, though, was our competitive nature almost ruining Christmas Eve.
Yes. You kids.
Do you play Wordle?
I have never played Wordle. We are a big Scrabble family.
I feel like if you like Scrabble, you could potentially like Wordle.
Yeah, but we tend to be a big Scrabble family, and we are very competitive about that.
It's funny. We played, this is when on Christmas Day when we were with Mike's family. He's competitive. His twin sister is competitive, but their younger sister is not. And we played Scattergories with his siblings and his cousins, and it was very fun. But again, I'm a very competitive person. So I'm like beating myself up for not having more original answers. I'm setting myself up to be like, I have to practice before next year.
And Kristen! Start coming
up. And then I watch Megan, who's just not competitive, she just had multiple lines where she wouldn't have an answer. And she was just totally fine with it, not berating herself for not being as smart. Like, meanwhile, I'm just like beating myself up for not.
She's probably not going to.
I still got seconds. So.
She's probably not going to practice before next year.
Probably not. All right. Well, tomorrow, Greg Bach will be here, and Nate Craig, their headliner for Laughing Tap this weekend, is going to join us at the 1 o'clock hour. So I'm sure that is going to be very funny, but it's always funny when Greg's here. And so we will have a great show tomorrow. Come back again at 11 a.m. But for now, stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Stockholm. We'll My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemiss.org for more.
A public WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for News Talk and